Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning. Wednesday, August the 26th, 2026. 8:26:26, 17 minutes past the hour here. And we're glad to be with you. Yesterday, we were having some great conversation in regard to the mayor's decision to veto the legislation that would prohibit flock cameras in the city of Marion. Monday night, City Council tried to overturn that veto. That did not happen. You need 6 votes to overturn a veto, and City Council's vote Monday night was 4-4. We were talking about that, and as we were going off the air yesterday, we were talking about the DORA, the rule, law, legislation, if you will, that allows people in downtown Marion in certain areas to take a cup from an establishment in which they've had some alcohol and go into other businesses that allow for that in downtown Marion. That was an interesting conversation, so we'll get back to that as well. But two things I want to say. Last night, here's something weird that happened. If you ever want to know if people watch this show, so I'm out on my walk last night, which I do every night in my neighborhood. I'm out doing my mile walk. And of course, when I go out and do the walk, in summer, I have shorts on, t-shirt, you know, no glasses. I have the iPod in, you know, that's how I look when I go out. You know, not exactly going to a party. So I'm out on my walk last night, and I'm down by the Tri-Rivers Early Education Center, which is usually not a whole lot of action going on there. And it used to be Ponderosa, used to be Ryan's. That's the building out there in the Meyer parking lot. So I'm getting close to that, and I notice that there is a man on a stretcher being taken across the street by about 4 other men. Now, immediately, this strikes me as odd. And I'm thinking, well, this is strange. There's no ambulance around. There's no police officers around that I could see. No sheriff's vehicle or anything of that nature. But they're taking him from the Early Childhood Education Center. And there's it's just grassy over there. There's no parking lot. And they're taking him across the street into the parking lot, the neighborhood across the way, which is about where I'm about to walk. So I'm a little apprehensive walking up on this because I don't know what's going on. I don't want to get in their way. And immediately, I'm probably about 30 feet away at this point, one of the people yells out, "Heavily contaminated area." And immediately, I stop because, holy mackerel, I don't want to come up on this. And then he laughed and he said, no, I'm just kidding. You know, what a good joke to tell. A good sense of humor. I appreciate that. So I'm a little apprehensive because I don't know if somebody's been injured. There is somebody on this stretcher. I don't know what's going on. And as I get closer, one of the gentlemen on the back, pushing the back of the stretcher, says, "Hey, Scott, how you doing?" I go, "Okay, I'm doing well." And then they took the guy around in a circle, and then they started to head back toward the Early Childhood Education Center. And another one of the guys, I don't know which one who said it, because there were a few guys doing this, said, "Hey, Scott, how are you? Good to see you." I said, "Good to see you, too." And then I kept on walking. Now, I don't know who these people were, but I didn't get a good look at them, so that could be my fault as well. But it's nice that when you're out on your evening walk, that you can run into friendly faces in the neighborhood, pushing a gurney. But once again, of all places to run into somebody, you know, that's not the time that I really want to have a conversation. I assume last night, and it's never good to assume, I guess, but I assume that they were probably doing some kind of practice. I'm guessing that's what that was, because the guy on the gurney did not look in terrible shape. So I'm guessing that was some kind of a practice, but what are the odds that I would walk up on that just at the time that they're crossing the street, so on and so forth? You just can't go anywhere some days. But that's what happened, and if any of them are listening, good morning to them, and it was nice seeing you, although I did not get a good look yesterday. You know, it was kind of sunny and all that. Okay, where are we going to go from here? 59 degrees this morning, a little chilly for August here in the Marion area. Well, yesterday we all learned that one of the truly big icons in country music, and I've always said country music is king in Marion, Dolly Parton died at the age of 80, and Dolly Parton is a superstar, there's no doubt about it. She'd been in movies, successful movies like 9 to 5, had written many successful songs over the years. I Will Always Love You, 9 to 5 itself was a song, Coat of Many Colors. She did a lot of great songs. People love Dolly Parton. And I think we're shocked a little bit to hear that she had died at the age of 80 yesterday, from cancer is what we're learning, a short battle with cancer. But she was just one of those people. And also very special to Ohio because of all the work she had done with literacy in the last 4 or 5 years. So a big name, a big star. Now here's what I remember about Dolly Parton. And you'll understand this in a second. Dolly Parton did a movie in the early 90s. You can probably get this on YouTube or Netflix or something like that. It was called Straight Talk. Now, it was not a huge success. It did open at the movies theaters, but it was not a huge success. The movie was about Dolly Parton. I think she was a secretary in the movie or something. And somehow, she ends up on the radio as an advice giver. Kind of like Dr. Ruth. And she becomes very, very popular and falls in love with people. I don't even remember exactly what the plot of the movie was. But that was the Dolly Parton movie, Straight Talk, from the early 90s. Most people have long forgotten this. But I always loved that movie because it had to do with radio, and it does have a good plot. Now, Dolly Parton, being the innovative person that she was, sang the title song from this movie, which was called Straight Talk. The song was called Straight Talk. The movie was called Straight Talk. The song was called Straight Talk. So, I thought this morning, in honor of Dolly Parton, I don't know if anybody's ever seen this movie, but we're going to play the title theme from that movie. This is something, I know a lot of people are playing 9 to 5 this morning, Coat of Many Colors, all those great Dolly Parton songs, Jolene. But here at WGH, in honor of radio, we're going to play Straight Talk by Dolly Parton from the early 90s. And there's something in this song, I think it's a clever song, but there's something in this song that will let you know exactly why I think this is one of her better songs. Listen for it, and maybe you can tell me what it is when we come back. But in honor of Dolly Parton, who died yesterday at the age of 80, here is the title theme from the movie Straight Talk, the song Straight Talk, here on WGH Talk.
And I hate about
the legendary Dolly Parton singing Straight Talk, the lead song to a whole movie. You can watch the movie from the early 1990s about radio and love, I guess is what it was. Now, does anybody know why I like that song in particular? There's one line in there that really appeals to me. If you know, give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or if you'd like to say something in regard to Dolly Parton's passing yesterday at the age of 80, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Everybody loved Dolly Parton. And of course, I think her biggest movie hit would have to be 9 to 5. Although she did a couple Christmas movies a few years ago that really were popular, did very, very well. I think they were just television movies, but I think they did very well. Did anybody know what the line was, or does anybody know what the line was from that song that's appealing to me? Now, by the way, also, if you want to talk about the Dora or anything going on in Marion, we can talk about that as well, because the conversation never stops. 740-383-9944. All right, go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Good morning, how are you?
Doing well. I was just calling in. I honestly just wanted to vent a little bit about the flock issue.
Oh, please do. Go ahead.
So I kind of wanted to bounce something off you, get your opinion, and because here's the lens I've been seeing it through, and I'm kind of starting to feel like I'm taking crazy pills. So I know in 2018, Carpenter v. U.S., the Supreme Court said you don't forfeit your Fourth Amendment because you're in public. Chaffee v. U.S., 2026, just a couple months ago, they said that police obtaining your location data is considered a search under the Fourth Amendment. So the lens I'm seeing things through, I can't understand why we would apply that logic any differently to the flock cameras.
Well, no, it's my understanding, and I'm no legal expert, but I think the flock cameras themselves have been, I think they have been challenged in courts, and the courts have said that this is not a violation of your Fourth Amendment rights. Now, again, it has not went to the Supreme Court, so we don't have that decision on flock cameras themselves in particular, but I think the reason is that, because there have been cases specifically in regard to flock cameras, judges have ruled that they in particular are not. Now, maybe that's because they're used by law enforcement. I'm not really sure what the rulings are. I would have to say I haven't read them, but I think that's the reasoning.
Well, so I believe the two that I know about two regarding flock specifically. I want to say one was in Virginia and one was in Indiana. I've done some reading on both of those cases. And again, you know, I'm not a legal expert either, but the opinions that came out of these courts for these cases, I believe both of the courts said pretty clearly that, you know, this ruling applies to the city in which the case took place. And the courts were clear that they are not in a position to make a statement on the broader network. And to me, that makes a little bit of sense, because maybe you can say, okay, if we have, you know, small town Virginia, we have 8 cameras here. That is not extensive enough to warrant a constitutional question.
Right, but and I think that's
what... Of course, it's a larger... We have to consider the country, because they're all interconnected.
Right, and I think that's where we are now, that the problem is that nobody has said that specifically flock cameras are a violation of the Fourth Amendment. And because of that, even though, and I'll go with what you say here, even though these courts have ruled for specific areas, neither of the courts, or however many courts have ruled on this, have said that they were violations. So until a court ruling would come down specifically on flock cameras, which may happen, that says they are a violation, I think this is the problem. And I think one of the other problems, honestly, is that there are different types of flock cameras. I think a license plate reader, which is what we have in Marion, versus a one that can tilt around and get pictures and videos, I think those are probably separate cases.
Sure. And so the reason I bring that up is the broader point I wanted to make with that is that I would hope mostly everybody can agree, whether you land on one side or the other, I think we can agree that there are constitutional questions. Whether you think it lands on one side or the other, it clearly is a Fourth Amendment conversation. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, I think we are absolutely having a Fourth Amendment conversation, and I think that's why what just happened here in Marion, for a legislative body like City Council to think or not think that they can get rid of them, a mayor, a sheriff, so on and so forth, to give their two cents on it, I think we don't have a definitive answer, but we do know that right now, and just right now when things change, they're not considered illegal. So it's interesting that all this legislation is happening, because if it were law, the legislation would not really matter.
Yeah, and I think that's where I'm landing with it. I agree with you there, and I guess, and you know, this is one person's opinion, but I'm just watching this all unfold, and I think we all agree that it's a Fourth Amendment conversation. And I just, you know, from my stance, I think when it comes to matters of constitutionality, when we're talking about the Constitution and we're talking about civil liberties, it seems like we're playing a little fast and loose with it. I think if both people on both sides agree that we're making potentially a constitutional decision, you know, I don't think, it seems like we're not treating it with enough respect, and we're talking about, you know, I think even as you mentioned yesterday, you know, talking about policies and, oh, well, Flock's policy this, Flock's policy that, and I just think it's a little shameful that, you know, I don't think we should have civil liberties depending on the policy of a private company. You know, that to me just, it's not lending the Constitution enough gravity.
No, but you know what's interesting? For example, years ago, and I'm sure there are more places than this, I remember I took a trip to New York, and this is going back decades now. Took a trip to New York. It was the first time I'd ever been there. Went by car, was with another person, and we ended up on the New Jersey Turnpike for a minute. And I had never been on the New Jersey Turnpike right before you go into Manhattan. And it's the middle of the night. I mean, it's probably 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. We pull up to the toll booth on the New Jersey Turnpike. Had every intention to pay, but there's nobody at the toll window. And the gate went up. So we drove through, but never paid anything. Now, we go to New York, have a fun trip. Come back, and about 2 weeks later, I get a letter from New Jersey in the mail fining me, and there is a picture of my license plate at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, whenever it was, running that toll booth. Now, that's 25, 30, maybe, I don't know, it's a long time ago. Now, that was going on then. And is that a violation of your civil liberties? I don't know. Is that considered private property? I mean, it's a turnpike. I can't imagine it would be considered private property. I don't know how these things work, but I know that as long as they are considered legal, then there's going to be a question.
Yeah, and you actually bring up two really interesting points there, and one is a rabbit hole I won't go down, but there's a much lesser known conversation that's been going on for a long time, specifically about those toll booth cameras, and that conversation revolves around the companies. Again, you know, we speak about private companies, I believe this is in Virginia, Washington, D.C., the company that runs those toll booth cameras is a foreign company. So I know that a smaller, more niche conversation is happening around that as well. But the other point is, And the two current cases that have addressed Flock, this was basically the crux of the cases, is that the courts were, you know, the summary of their opinions is that it all comes down to the level of granularity with the system. Because in your example, let's say you have a toll booth camera on a freeway, you know, that maybe documents your location. That might, you know, could be dozens and dozens of miles between data points. With the Flock cameras, depending on where you live, maybe that's a few miles between data points. But obviously the goal of Flock and what's currently happening is the network is expanding at a very rapid pace. So as the network expands, the granularity gets finer and finer. And that's what these courts talked about. They basically said at the current level, there's not enough cameras for us to decide that they are, quote-unquote, tracking your movements.
Well, it's
but I believe at least one of them specifically did say that it may reach that point in the future, and that would be a different conversation.
Well, it's interesting. From one of our listeners out here this morning, it said a recent court opinion has said that the distance between Flock cameras in whatever city... this took place, are not close enough to be considered a search. The judge said in his opinion that the more dense Flock cameras become, it may become a search. And the person can't recall which city this was. But that's an interesting point. I think this is, it's an interesting conversation, particularly here in Marion, because the cameras have been around for 3 years. And all of a sudden, I'm not saying there hasn't been furor, but there certainly has been legislative furor. And the mayor did what, by vetoing this legislation, he did what he is entitled to do. He certainly is not the first mayor to use a veto. Now, maybe he's the first mayor to use a veto on such a highly divisive issue, but Mayor Schertzer... vetoed the Aquatic Center twice, and obviously we have an Aquatic Center, and they overrode his veto twice. So, here we are. And I think that's why this is getting so much traction. But when people say that Mayor Collins didn't have the right to do this, or he is a king, or whatever they're saying, that's really not true. And when they say he's against the people... Well, you wouldn't have to use a veto if the legislation went the way you went. You know, Schertzer used a veto because people voted for the Aquatic Center. He thought that was wrong. That's why he vetoed it. Also during his administration, at the very end, council voted for pay raises for the mayor and the auditor and so on and so forth. He vetoed that. Because he thought that was the wrong legislation. Now, if we're going to say that a mayor's veto is against the people, then we've got to say all these vetoes are against the people and the mayor shouldn't have a veto. I think he's taking some undue criticism. You may not like what he vetoed, but you know what? Council went with him, and as a matter of fact, had the vote for the veto the other night been the Flock vote, Flock would not have been... prohibited. It wouldn't have passed. It would have been even, 4-4.
Right, and I totally agree with you. I think he probably is taking too much heat, and, you know, because somebody coming from my position, if I'm on my soapbox talking about the Constitution and founding principles as they're written, I think the same thing applies here. You know, that's how things work here. He's doing what he's allowed to do. And anybody who opposes the Flock cameras, I think, if anything, you know, that's just a signal to, hey, maybe we need to organize better. Maybe we need to do more education locally and get people informed and active in the process. So, you know, yeah, through the whole thing, I do think there's an unfortunate fringe that it turns into mudslinging, and unfortunately, sometimes it turns into anti-police rhetoric, which I strongly disagree with. You know, I'm a very pro-police person, you know, so it gets messy.
Well, and I also think there is a question that's going on right now. Did city council act act in the right way, because there is an ordinance, and I believe this has been pointed out on social media at this point, that when a mayor disapproves of an ordinance or resolution or any part thereof and returns it with his objections, the legislative authority may, after 10 days, reconsider it. Now, they did not wait 10 days. They, you know, the mayor vetoed it on Wednesday, and they voted on Monday. So I'm not even sure city council was within their rights to do that on Monday night, and I'm not sure why they did it. And by the way, the code is section 731.27, for anybody who wants to look up, the Ohio Revised Code. So I'm not sure why council even did that Monday.
Yeah, I had seen that same thing being talked about, and I think that that's very interesting.
But that's on council. I mean, that's not on the mayor. The mayor did what he had the right to do. And
right.
Why they didn't wait 10 days, why they didn't try to maybe form a better consensus on overturning Flock, I don't know. But you talk about the fringe, and I assume you're talking about some social media things and memes and things of that nature. Well,
sure.
You know, I don't think, if you wanted to get rid of Flock cameras, I don't think that helped you. I don't think that attacking the FOP, which people did online, I don't think that making memes of the mayor and law enforcement did that any good. I don't think that people live streaming in a city council meeting helped that. I don't think that two people had to be thrown out of Monday's meeting before the vote ever happened helped that. I think when people see that, even if they might be on the fence, and I do think there were some of those no votes that were on the fence, I think they go, you know, hey, I'm a little iffy about these Flock cameras, but why are you trying to run people through the mud?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I heard you mention some of that yesterday, and honestly, it kind of made me think back. I'm split on it, too. But it kind of made me think back to, you know, I can remember in school we learned about the earliest political cartoons, which goes back, you know, probably hundreds of years. And so I kind of chuckled to myself that these memes remind me of that. They're almost like the modern day political cartoon. So I do agree. I think you can definitely take it too far. You can hurt your own cause. But it did almost warm my heart a little bit that it seems to be such a long-running tradition in the country to sort of characterize and mock political opponents in that form.
Well, and I agree. If you are in the public eye, you have to take it. But you know the difference? The difference is that there was an editor at a newspaper that was saying, okay, is this funny and is this liable? Could this get us sued for libel? And I think political cartoons are funny. What is being done on social media, I don't know that there's a lot of comedy in that. When it went in a paper, it might have been harsh for the person, but guaranteed it had been seen by several editors, and it had been deemed as funny. Are these people on social media trying to be funny, or are they trying to be serious? Because it seems like they're advocates. I don't think the newspapers were advocates.
Point. Yeah, I guess from my perspective, when I see the memes, I personally see a little bit of humor in it. I guess I'm just projecting that onto the author, whom I don't know personally. But, you know, I guess I probably trend to the younger side, so maybe I'm just socially, I'm more conditioned to see humor and that stuff. But
well,
that's,
some
yeah,
of it's
that's
funny.
A very interesting point that anybody, you know, anybody really can have their own quote-unquote newspaper to publish their political cartoons these days with, like you said, you know, no oversight, no editor. They're the writer, the editor, and the publisher.
But to be, I think the big, and by the way, some of them are funny. I'm not saying some of the memes are not funny at all. Some of them are very clever and very funny. But the problem is, is that if you are an advocate, let's say in this case, if you're an advocate for getting rid of the flock cameras, and that is what your political meme is aimed at, it could be funny, but that's what it's aimed at. The difference between that and a newspaper, the newspapers were never advocates, and the next day, there would be a political cartoon in the opposite direction to prove the opposite point. These internet sites don't do that.
Right. I do wish I had a better grasp. I think my algorithm and even my social circle, from my perspective, it seems to me like there is overwhelming opposition to the flock cameras. I do, of course, recognize that there are people who support the flock cameras, but it seems to be kind of a muddy topic, and I know some of the council members, of course, as you know, I found it interesting that they would say, oh, well, you know, in my emails it was very strongly opposed, but everybody I talked to in person, it was more 50-50. And that almost, I'm trying to avoid putting my tinfoil hat on, but it just seems funny to me that, the one that could be proven on record skews strongly one way, but the one that you have to take my word about, oh, trust me, that's more 50-50.
Right, and I also think, and we have had people make this point, one of them, I think, who has made them on internet sites is former councilman Jason Schaber, and one thing about Jason, you can like what he does and or not like what he does, or like what he believes or not like what he believes, but he does know council. He was there a long time. He took the time to study it, and he does know it. And there were several things that made me very uncomfortable during this whole process. One being when the night that Thaddeus Smith first brought this motion to introduce legislation to get rid of the flock cameras, he got a second that night from Nathan Stevenson. And Nathan Stevenson ended up withdrawing his vote, but, you know, depending on which spectrum you look through, that might have not been proper procedure. So that vote should have happened anyway, according to a lot of people, one of them, I believe, right, being Jason. That's one thing, and then we learn that the vote Monday night that they took to overturn flock cameras is against the legislative code. You know, council, if they really want to get rid of the flock cameras, is going to have to get better at knowing what they're doing, or any legislation, by the way, knowing what can and cannot be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And as somebody who opposes the cameras, I fully agree. I think the opposition, the opposition from the citizenry side, needs to get organized, and definitely the legislative body. You know, they need to do the same thing. And I think that benefits everybody across the board, especially moving forward. Maybe this is all one big useful civics lesson here in Marion.
I really think it has been. And you know what? Not this coming Monday, because they're off for the fifth Monday, but the following, it'll be a Tuesday, because it'll be the day after Labor Day. When those committees meet, they are going to talk about flock safety rails. So, you know, something is going to come of this, but I'm not sure why it never started there. I don't know why this legislation was passed on the first reading without possibly just trying to put those guardrails in the first time. And to be honest with you, had they been sensible guardrails, I don't know that the mayor ever would have vetoed that legislation.
Well, I think this is very interesting. This whole conversation about these guardrails and these policies, this is coming directly from flock safety within, you know, just the past 1 or 2 weeks. So when we started having this conversation in Marion, over a month ago, the quote-unquote guardrails, that wasn't in the conversation. And Flock has only very recently, within the past week or two, started talking about these guardrails and these tools and these audit assistance stuff. And they're doing that, of course, due to the overwhelming opposition to what they're doing as a company. So I will say that I think when we started having the conversation in Marion, the guardrails weren't really a thing anybody knew about. And I think they're a very new introduction to the discussion.
I think you're very right, and I think it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. I thank you for calling in this morning. Very well thought out opinions. And if anything else strikes you on any other opinion, feel free to call in. It's always good to hear from people out there in the listening audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for giving me the time.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open. We got about 6 minutes left in this hour. I think these are a lot of interesting points. And you know one thing? People give their opinion a lot of on this show, the callers, which is fine. But I think we are learning a lot about civics. We are learning a lot about city council. We are learning a lot about legislative bodies. And I appreciate that to a great degree. Again, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz. The conversations are certainly interesting. Go ahead, caller.
I don't know who that fella is, but he sure is smart. I wish he'd call back some more.
I think we've got him one other time, but yeah, very good guy out there. Glad he called in.
That's all I wanted to say. And sir, if you're ever at city council, please say hello. Please introduce yourself.
Do you have anything to say real quick about the Dora? That was the big issue yesterday we went off the air with. Or Dolly Parton. You can talk about Dolly and be very light.
I went when I was in Cleveland at federal court. After I beat the city, we went downtown and did a little tour. There's a wonderful little area down there that our downtown wishes it could be, but it's just a wonderful little area, and I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was a little country, it wasn't little, it was a two-story country bar that was dedicated completely to Dolly Parton. It had a great big, St. Dolly mural on the wall, and 9-to-5 stuff, and it was neons with, you know, phrases from Dolly songs and things like that, so I loved Dolly, and when I was a kid, we went to Dolly World every year for vacation. We went to Pigeon Forge for so long that it was Silver Dollar City before Dolly bought it and turned it into Dollywood. So I literally remember the transformation of Silver Dollar City into Dollywood and then Dixie Stampede. Those are fond childhood memories. And the butterflies, I remember when the big butterfly was put in front of Dollywood. So I have a lot of fond memories of Dolly, and just for what she stood for. She was kind and generous and glamorous, and I remember she said something about the reason why she chose to dress the way she did was because that's the way she felt on the inside, so that's the way she wanted to look on the outside, like she felt fabulous. And her relationship with her husband, 59 years, and he was just fine with being a quote-unquote nobody. He actually owned a construction company, and just regular average Joe. And I think it was beautiful, and I'm tired of waking up to the wrong obituaries.
You know what's very interesting about Dolly Parton? Number one, I think that, you know, I make a lot of light about marriage, sometimes fun, sometimes serious, but the truth of the matter is the one thing that will make a successful marriage is somebody, a spouse who is supportive. And I don't think Dolly Parton's spouse was anything but supportive throughout her career and never tried to get in her limelight. And what was interesting about that to me was that, you know, she died, within 2 years of his death?
And I don't think it was a year. I think he passed last year.
And also her brother died in that period.
They had a beautiful story. She was a beautiful person, and you think about all of the books that she gave away. I love all of the books, her Imagination Library, and that's something that's going to continue to children all around the world.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
And I think also the one reason she was not divisive to people is because she didn't give her opinion on anything.
Well, she did, because she actually had I have a meme that it's of Dolly, and it's of her in every dress of, a dress of every color of the rainbow, and it actually says, if I were, I would be the first one to come out of the closet. Like, she was very supportive of everyone. She didn't care.
Right.
She wasn't divisive in that nature that she She accepted everyone. That's the word I was looking for. She accepted everyone for who they were.
Well, I think much like Betty White later in her life, she was not an advocate for things like that, but she would do stuff like that. I remember they used to ask Betty White stuff like that. She'd say, you know, I don't care. Let people do what they want to do. And I think that's sort of what Dolly Parton did, because I remember, I think she was on a talk show one time, and somebody asked her something political, and she said that wasn't her job.
Right, and she did have a way of remaining apolitical and beloved by everyone. And you think about the generations of people that grew up with her. It's a sad loss, that's for sure. I didn't realize she was so ill. It seems like she went very suddenly.
Well, I think we now know that she did have cancer. Nobody's sure what kind of cancer that was. But she did make an appearance in June, I guess, at Dollywood. She didn't look... I mean, she was 80. She didn't look as spry as maybe...
80 is not old, but my friend told me that she had canceled. I guess she had a few shows booked out in Vegas. Oh, one of my friends had shows and she canceled, but my husband told me she had canceled all of her shows in
Vegas.
Know,
though, sometime we'll have a conversation about age, because people say 80 is not old, but read the obituaries someday. I mean, I'm not... if you feel fine at 80, I think it's one of those things... Age is what it is for you.
I agree with that, but I mean, I know 60-year-olds that are in far worse shape than 85-year-olds.
But I mean,
it isn't all how you take care of yourself, but the life expectancy is, you know, close to 80, so I don't think it's...
Well, no, but that's it. I mean, the life expectancy in America for men and women is still below 80 years old.
Well,
so,
you know, our diet, I know you've got to go, our diets don't help that. That being said, SNAP benefits, this applies to you, Mr. Kroger. I don't mean to you because you receive SNAP benefits. I mean you're Mr. Kroger. As of October 1st, SNAP benefits will no longer be able to be used to purchase sugary drinks.
That is true, and I'm interested to see how that's all going to play out because I'm...
Riots? I think you're going to have riots.
Well, but I think you still can buy Diet Pop, is my understanding.
Yeah. Diet, sugar-free, zero calories, all of that. So there's probably going to be a mad rush on diet soda. So
we shall see.
Take care, Sears.
We'll be back after this.
.com.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol,